I'd like to introduce not just the pastor of Discovery Church, but my father.
Oh, my goodness. I'm good, man. I'm good. That's awesome. I don't know what to do with this thing. I'll put it over here. I can safely say that's the first time in the history of 40 years of ministry, nearly, that I have ever come to the stage to the Imperial March. And so somebody asked me today, have you waited 7 years to wear this shirt? Because May the 4th didn't come on a Sunday until like 7 or 8 years ago. So how many of you, true or false, Liz dressed me today? That's false. Yeah, she did not do this. No, that's right. It's so funny. In fact, I didn't even share with her that I was going to wear it. I did like the other day. I told her I was going to wear it. And Brandon came to me the other day. And he said, Dad, you got to wear this shirt. I want you to wear this shirt. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do that. So anyway, I get here this morning. She looks at me and goes, uh-oh, what happened with this? I don't know what's going on. But man, what a blessing. Hey, listen, I think it's okay to have a lot of fun, don't y'all? Yeah. I think God created fun. And I don't think the church has to be anything less. In fact, we try our best here to just make this. It's not about fun. It's not about that at all. But God is a God worthy to be praised and honored and lauded and magnified and just enjoy being in His presence. We missed last week. We were traveling. We were treated to an incredible weekend. We got to see the Thorn at the Fisher Center on the Belmont University in Nashville. Got to spend some time with the Ferguses and with the Luxembourgs. It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed that. I encourage you, if you get a chance, that thing is coming to Huntsville this fall. I encourage you to go to it if you can. It was first class, top notch, incredible. And just one more way to see the story of Jesus be portrayed in one more kind of way. It was really incredible. So thanks to you guys for treating me and Liz to that. We enjoyed every second of that. Good food, too, by the way. So Nashville got some good food over there. Rachel asked me to mention real quickly just a little bit of housekeeping. That is, if you want to sign up for the Marriage Conference 2026, our weekend retreat, I think it's a retreat. I said conference, but it's a retreat. In 2026, you need to see her today about that and get ready, get signed on for that. Hey, I want to jump into it real quick and just start with just saying what a privilege and honor it has been, man, to just pastor this church for 8 years today. Today's our 8th anniversary. So there is no way I can envision lots of things. The Bible says God can do more than we can ask or imagine. I can imagine some pretty cool stuff. And so I don't know that I ever saw like the vision of this, but I can just see more and more and more people coming to Jesus through us. And let's just be honest and say we don't have all the answers. We don't pretend to have all the answers. We're just one more door. I appreciate Eric Pugh. If you guys know Eric, it goes to Lindsay Lane. He said, man, when we talk about starting Discovery, he said, just one more place for someone to come to Jesus. Just one more door open, a place for somebody to come to Jesus. And I really appreciated his spirit in that, speaking life into what we were doing. We had nothing. We had no money. We had no we really, at that time, did not have the vision I'm going to share with you today. We really just wanted and knew that there had to be something more than what we had been experiencing in church. That's not to slam anything that ever happened to us. I don't want to do that. I just want to say that it just seems like to me that we were in a place where we wanted to be more for God. We wanted to serve Him in a more deep way, a better way. And just we just set out on our own. And to do this, I say on our own, God was with us all the way. And so here's the thing. I think God can and will work through our mess ups. I think God will redeem the things that we thought we were doing okay, and we changed it. And we every year we talk about how that whatever you see around here, don't get too used to it, because we are good about making sure that we stay on top of changing in the places we need to change. And we're not afraid of that at all. One of our values and principles is that everything is an experiment. And so you come to me with the idea, most of the time it's a yes. And what I'm going to share with you today basically is the filter through which we put everything, whether it happens here or not, at Discovery Church. And it's the first time in my history of preaching and ministry where I really felt so focused on what I was trying to do, what God was trying to do through us. and it's been a whole lot of fun. Every year, first Sunday in May, I preach the same message. And I do that on purpose, not because I can't write another message. It's because I want to never forget from where we've come. And until God decides to change the vision with which I feel like we need to move forward in this, this is where we are. And so we started out not really knowing what to do, and we formulated that through like the first year and a half. And I'll just be honest, it was hard because there were some people that like, well, I don't know about this, and I don't know about that. Are we going to be this? Lots of questions. What are we going to be? What is it going to look like? Are we going to be this or that? And lots of questions about who we were going to be and how we were going to identify as God's kingdom and in this little part of what's going on in his world, in his kingdom, and what he was trying to do in us. And so I do this every year for the express purpose of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Scripture says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live, everybody say harmony, to live in harmony. I grew up in a church that taught four-part harmony real well. Every Sunday was like sitting in a choir in a lot of churches. It was incredible, and I love that. And you could always tell that good sister that didn't know how to sing but loved Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Sound like the bird, you know, one of those Disney movies, you know, wah, wah, wah. Anyway, or the brother sometimes, the monotone person. But you know what? People felt free to sing. And cause harmony is so beautiful when it happens right. And even those of you guys who are not musically inclined, you know when it's wrong. you might know not how to make it right, but you know when it's wrong. And that's what happens in our life together. Speaking, he says, speak the same thing. Harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of, everybody say this with me, the last part. One mind, united in thought and purpose. And when we do that, then God can do some mighty things with that. Let me confess something else to you. This just came on my heart. So if this, I hope God lets this be of you. But that is, I don't think that church has to be cookie cutter, that everything has to be the exact same thing for everybody. And so we say it all the time. We're fully upfront with you and say we may not be for everybody. When we finish this today, and by the way, can we just invite all of our guests and welcome all of our guests? We are glad you're here. Man, I met like four or five people this morning that I've not seen. Some of you I've seen before, and I said I don't know if I've seen you or not because my mind is kind of weird these days, and that's part AIDS, part chemo. I don't know what's going on, but anyways, it's like forgetting. But I just want to say that we readily admit that we may not be for everybody, but God has called us to a purpose, and we're trying to stay faithful to that purpose. We're out for three different kinds of people, and first of all, those who don't know Jesus, we call them not yet believers. The word yet is important in that phrase because there's an anticipation that you will be. And I want to tell you, there's a disturbing number of people in our culture and our world who are not believers. And Christianity is kind of leveled, they say, but it's still kind of on the decline and that kind of thing. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I can't even get into all the reasons that I think that's a problem. But it is a problem. So we have a lot of people. We're living in a buckle of the Bible Belt, and you'd be shocked at how many people don't know who Jesus is or don't know anything about Jesus. And all they've ever heard about Jesus was either in a cuss word or a misrepresentation of who he is. And so we're not here to straighten all that out. We're just here to say, here's one more way to look at this, and we want to try to help people who don't know Jesus. The second kind of person we're looking for is people who I call disenfranchised. And that's some of you. Some of you in this room today. And we, you know, we throw around the words church hurt, and we throw around the idea of being hurt by people and so on. And I just want to encourage you that it doesn't matter where you go to church or where you worship, you're going to have people there, hopefully, unless it's just you. You might be like the guy that was so argumentative that he wound up on a desert island, and he was there for years and years and years and years and years, and he finally got rescued. When they came to rescue him, they came up on the beach and said, man, it's so good to see you, brother. Tell us what's been happening. He had three buildings built. And he said, what are these three buildings? And they said, this is where I live. This is where I live. This is my house. And what's the second building? He said, that's my church. That's my church. He said, oh, great, you're a believer. Awesome. Well, what's this third building? He said, that's where I used to go to church. And so he can't even get along with himself. And I think Christians sometimes, y'all like that way too much, right? But listen, it is true. Some of you are so like, you're here trying to, I love to watch people like kick the tires and try to figure out if we're real or not. We're so real, we readily admit that we don't have it all together. We make a lot of mistakes at it. But I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, don't we love our people and our community, guys? Come on, Discovery Church, we love our community. And I know sometimes we miss it and mess it up, but we really love it. So we just don't be turned away by religion. Don't do that. Don't let religion turn you away from Jesus, because it can. And then the third person is the believer who's looking for a place where they can breathe, where they can breathe. Religion will keep its thumb on you. It will push you down. It will, legalism, I grew up in it, and there's a whole lot of stuff around in our area, thought process. And by the way, we can swing one the other way. We can swing away from legalism to the side where we just go, well, it really don't matter, because God don't, you know, he don't care what I do anyway, because he's going to love me anyway, right? And I've learned that the extremes of both of those two things lead to the same thing. People are on the legalistic side who decide that they have to do everything right. If they don't do everything right, God's mad at them and he's going to punish them and throw them in hell. They're over here going, well, I can't do it anyway, so why even try? I don't care. That's where I was as a teenager. I just don't get it. I don't understand. If I can't do it all right anyway, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to go live for the devil. That's what I did. And on the other side over here, you got people go, well, it really doesn't matter. God loves you anyway. So, hey, just you know, live what you want to. It doesn't really, that's an extreme. And what happens to this side is we say, it doesn't matter anyway. So we wind up finding lazy disciples on both extremes. And what we're trying to do is to come together in a culture of life where you are allowed to come just as you are, but you will not be left there. If we leave people where they are, then all we're doing is, like if we feed hungry people, we don't give them Jesus, and we're just making them fatter for this earth. We have to be able to have a culture of life. And I've always wanted to be a part of a group of people where church felt like it was more for other people than for me. Other people than me. And so we're not going to leave the world where we are, but we're going to help others realize that there's freedom. By the way, freedom, you guys, freedom, who are my freedom people? Come on, we just finished our Freedom Conference. If you don't know what that is, stick around. You'll hear it a lot here, around here. But we're realizing that we have freedom to live. And God, help us to be selfless. God, help me to be selfless in my marriage. Help me be selfless in my relationships with other people. God, help me to be selfless in every aspect of who I am for you. Here's a question I have for you. As part of our vision and part of our thought process, we had to decide something. And I ask you a question. Are you willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of Christ, for the sake of following Jesus? Because we live in a consumer-minded culture, and that kind of thing is not going to stop, because all you hear about in our country is how much prosperity we can have and all these things. And y'all, at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters. It really doesn't. It's going to be gone. When the doctor said, you have colon cancer, not one thing went through my mind. Well, man, I hope I make $1 million before I die. That didn't go through my mind. When you get told that you're by your spouse, I don't love you anymore and I'm leaving you, nothing matters in that moment like coming back together and being together and fixing the problem. So I'm just saying there's so much stuff out there that we give up. And consumer Christianity says, hey, I'm looking for a church that meets my needs, that takes care of my kids, that's got AC and a comfortable chair and an incredible band and a good-looking pastor and all those things. And you got all that here. But y'all laughed way too hard about that one. But it's not about that. It really isn't. We love what we do here on Sundays, but I'm going to take you through a journey today that hopefully helps you see that if you're looking for a church that does all those things for you, you probably not found it. Because from day one, we're going to start talking to you about being inconvenienced for Christ, giving of your time, your effort, your money, your resources, your talent, all those things, and giving it back to God. So we use Ephesians 1, 17 to 19 as our theme passage. This was given to me years ago, listening to other pastors teach and trying to walk through what leadership looked like and what church looked like. And Paul starts this text by saying this. This will be on your screen. If you got sermon notes, you can pull those out. We're going to start filling some blanks here in just a few moments when you came in. If you want to do that electronically, you can do that as well on our website, discoveryl.church. He said, I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Every day I pray for wisdom because I cannot do this on my own. I need spiritual insight because I am a natural person trying to walk in a supernatural way. And I can't do that without God. I can't do that without wisdom, and neither can you. And if you think you can, you're fooled already by the enemy. Don't let him fool you into thinking you can. And then the idea of revelation is uncovering things. It's uncovering. The spirit of revelation is that God wants us to know who he is. And so I'm going to remind you of our four foundations, our foundational truth, the things that we started this whole thing on and we continue to run this whole thing on. It's the thing through which we filter all things that we try to do or not here. Father, today I ask as I speak that you speak through me. Help me not to stammer over my words or to lose my thoughts, but to stay focused on what you would have me to say in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we want you to do is to find a relationship with God. We want you to have a relationship with God. And that's thrown around in Christian circles a lot, and it's just a real thing. The scripture says, so that you may know him better. And the word know here is the idea of full knowledge, discernment, and recognition. It is expressing a fuller or a full knowledge, a greater participation by the knower, that's God, in the subject or object known, that's us, thus more powerfully influencing us. Now, what does all that mean? All that means is that God wants to participate in you knowing him. He wants to come alongside of you. He wants to come into your life and really affect every part of your life. You do not want your children to know about you. You want them to know you. And that's a whole different thing. So ultimately, God wants to know who you are. And we try to do that and promote that whole concept in our worship time together on Sundays. And so primarily, we do that through worship, but celebrating, informing about God, transforming people by the message of Christ. And y'all, that's just where it starts. Being a disciple of Christ, I'm learning more and more every day, is much deeper than just coming and saying a prayer, or coming and being baptized, or coming and taking a communion, or receiving communion, as we say. The sacraments are important and necessary, but they are not the focus. And we've made church about it rather than him. So we worried for years, we worried about how we partake communion, how we receive communion, how we're baptized, how we worship. It's got to be all done in the right way. Guys, listen, I think God is as multiplex as he can be. How many ways did God communicate in Scripture? Not just one way. He comes to people in all kinds of different relationships, and he's asking us to change and transform our lives, not just in worship, but through worship. Worship itself will take you from a place where you don't want to be to a place where you need to be. God is literally inhabited on the praises of his people. So when we praise God, he's moving in that praise. And that's why you sense things in worship, and you're moved by that. And if you're dead, it's okay, because God can raise all dead things. If you don't understand what all that means, and we're not looking for a feeling or an experience, we're looking for a relationship. But can I promise you something? If you deeply dive into the relationship with God, you're going to feel something. You're going to experience something. There's going to be things that are going to be happening in your life that your family is going to go, what in the world has happened to you? You know, why have you changed so much? And it's going to be a good kind of thing. Number two, we want you to get freedom from your past. Not only have a relationship with God, that's great, that's a starting point, that's where you begin, but we want you to free yourself from your past. So many of us could raise our hands right now and say, man, I'm dealing with some baggage in my life every day. Releasing that to God is so difficult sometimes, because here's what I do. I'll release it, but then I'll go back and pick it up the next day and try to carry it around again. And God said, I want you to be free from your past. And Paul says it this way in this scripture. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, which means focused and clear. A couple of years ago, I had started seeing these weird shadows in my eyes, and it's kind of this haze over my eyes. Went to the eye doctor, and I had cataracts, okay? I mean, I drive a Hyundai, but I had cataracts. Anyway, that's terrible. I should have quit while I was ahead on the jokes, all right? But the cataracts were blurring my vision. They had to be removed. And I'll never forget feeling like when I came out of those, being able to actually see without regular glasses. These are readers, because even with a 24 font, I have to have them now. So up close is not so hot, but far away I can read things and see things. My vision became clearer, and finding it difficult to focus. I didn't even know how blurry I was. Some of you that way spiritually, you really don't know how blurred out your life really is. And when you come into clarity with Jesus, and faith is always, when people pray for clarity, remember, faith is, when it's clear, it's not faith anymore. But coming into that relationship with God, you will begin to see things better in your life more and more. There are things that's happened to you. It may happen to you on your way in this morning. We're going to go to this church. We're going to muster up. We're going to go. Going to a new church is really weird, man. I don't know what are these people like. Are they charismatic? Are they boring? Are they funny? Are they fun? Are they exciting? Are my kids going to learn something? You got all these things in your mind. They have bathrooms. They have indoor toilets. You know, things like that. They're going through this whole concept. And you're going through these minds. And you walk in, and all of a sudden you start saying, oh, wait a minute. These people are normal people. And then, wow. They kind of look. Oh, I see what's going on. Yeah. And you're getting focused. Listen, you may have been hurt on the way in this morning by somebody that either didn't speak like they needed to or you thought they should speak or didn't say something, or maybe somebody, all kinds of things. The devil is never, he doesn't stop. Well, he's got his little minions running around doing their kind of thing. And so it might have happened today. It could have happened yesterday. It could have been something that happened to you when you was a child. It could have happened to you in your marriage. It could have happened at school last week. I don't know what's happened, but somebody's probably been hurt by something, and you need to get free from that. Christine Kane, I love to hear her speak. She's got that Australian accent. But we cannot go where we are. She said this, we cannot go where we're going without leaving from where we've been. And that's so true spiritually. You got to give up what that stuff was behind you. The Bible calls that repentance. It's repenting from where you were going and turning to where God wants you to go to. And in order to bring light into your heart and your darkness, you got to deal with the past. We do this primarily through small groups. Now, I hope that my sermons are great and all this. I will try to work hard to make them, you know, something you can hear and take home. But if you're depending on me in a 20, 30-minute talk to feed you every week, you're going to starve. You're going to starve. You got to get in a small group. If you're not a small group, you got to. That's part of being inconvenienced. And really, we don't ask you to do much different than you're already doing. We just ask you to put spiritual components in what you're already doing. That's really what we're calling people to do in small groups. It's fun to do. It's exciting to do. And so, and you can be leading a small group within 3 or 4 weeks of coming to our church, and we want you to do that. And so small groups are a place where we do that. Freedom happens in the context of relationships when we share our deepest concerns with one another. Scripture says it this way, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. God takes care of the forgiveness, but he says when you confess things, you get healed from those things. So you you need this relationship with God. You need freedom from your past. And then we take people on this journey to discover their purpose, to discover your purpose. This is your why. And Paul puts it this way, so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do. He is calling you to do. I want you to understand that God has a calling on your life. And I also want you to understand that in religious circles, we have created a mystery around that, to the point that people don't even know what God's think. I don't know. What's God calling me to do? I mean, he called you to be a pastor. What's he calling me to be? He calls you to be a musician. Well, I'm a drummer. I hang out with musicians. But anyway, he calls you. What's he calling me to be? And we get into this comparison mode, and they did the same thing. You can read it. Bless you. Goodness, I felt better after that sneeze. But anyway. But this idea of God wanting us to understand, what is your calling? Can I just tell you that all of our calling is to teach, baptize, and teach. All of our calling is to teach people Jesus and to give Jesus to other people, and not just to tell them that and have them to come some kind of magical prayer and everything's okay. It's really a life of following after Christ, a life of discipleship, following after who our Lord is and being him and being like him. And that's our true calling. But sometimes we want to know, what are your specific gifts? And God has gifted you. And we teach and believe that God has gifted you for something that he's purposed you for. And that's what we want you to find, is to be able to do that. Scripture says this, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Did you see that last phrase? Just where he wants it. I was not going to be a pastor. I wasn't seeking to be a pastor. But God led me to this. And it's a long story. I don't have time to tell you. But it is not what my focus was in my life. And I want to tell you this, you operate best where you're most gifted. And you know what that is. You probably know some of it already. You just don't know how to kind of define that. And so we want you to discover that. Today we start a process we call Impact. It's a 3-step process that takes you through. And step 2 next week is a spiritual gifts assessment. And we actually help you try to find what your spiritual gifts are and help you try to put those into practice here at our church. If you want to stay today, we provide lunch, we provide child care, and you're just going to exit out the back instead of going out the front door, take a left, and Miss Pam will be back there waiting to invite you into the room and enjoy some food and stay and learn some more about our church and learn some more about how God wants you to be able to function in this world. You see, you are gifted. Do you believe that? It's hard for some people to say, what does that even mean? I'm gifted. You're spiritually gifted. And God has placed you in a place to be able to serve in his kingdom for that. Okay, I'm going to step out on a little bit of a limb here, okay? So try to avoid this idea of, well, if I can't find a place to serve in the church on Sunday morning, then I don't have a place. Try to fight this urge to say, well, if it doesn't look like whatever you think it should look like, try to fight that urge. Because what I read in Scripture is very few people felt called to do what God called them to do. And in fact, most of them fought against it. Moses said, I don't talk too good. I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I'm not the guy because I don't talk well. So God said, I'll send your brother. He's been talking for you for years. I'll send him with you, and you can go down there and talk to Pharaoh. God is preparing it for you. You have to be willing to be able to say, you know what, I just want to do what you've called me to do, Lord, and open your life up to that. And for some of you, I know that's very, very scary. And anyway, I've got to move because there's so many other things I'd love to say right there, but I don't want to step off of these notes too much right now. Discovery of your gift is just a part of the equation. Finding that relationship with God is first. Getting free from your past is next. And I want to encourage you to do it in that order. And then finding who you are and finding what your purpose is, that is a call upon your life. And we want you to act on that, even to the point of being, in our culture, it's inconvenienced to be able to do that, so that you can do the fourth thing, and that is to make an impact. I'm convinced, and Scripture says this, that you may grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers in his holy people. That's from the Message paraphrase. And Eugene Peterson, the phrase in the regular translations is kind of hard to grasp in that, but in his explanation of it, he's helping us to see that there is a connection between making an impact and people. I've said this a lot here, but do you understand that the only thing you're going to take from this world to the next is other people? I mean, you can bank it and save it and leave it because it's not going with you. You don't need it there, but you do need people. When I see pictures of heaven, it's always connected with people. There is this togetherness and the lack of ability for sin to even affect our lives. And God's plan for us is to make an impact on the world, to go and make disciples. Who make disciples? Who make disciples? Who make disciples? Being a disciple, that is a thing that we are, that's who we are. And I'm working really hard on a future series on discipleship that I think it's going to be a life changer for so many people, but it's going to be challenging. We've convinced ourselves there are disciples, and then there's, the way the writers of the New Testament put it this way, they put, there are disciples, there are followers of Jesus, emulators of Jesus, imitators of Jesus, doing what their rabbi did, and then there's the crowds. They came along because he was feeding people and doing miracles. And it's kind of a sideshow, so to speak. They were there for the interest in what he was doing, but not so much interested in doing what he was doing. Because Jesus doesn't call you to comfort. He calls you to walk out of your comfort zone. Jesus doesn't call you to just slough out life and just end up one day just, I'm just going to grow old and retire and just have a good time. Grow old and retire, that's fine, but don't lose your focus on what God's calling you to do in that moment. And this impact we're trying to get people to make is, a lot of it has to do with what we do here on Sunday. I'll admit that, but it's not just here. Because here, we make a great impact on each other here, but we make more of an impact on the people around us out in the world. Kingdom living is all about making a difference. And when our King came to the world, he made a great difference. People had demons and he just took them out. People had ailments and he just healed them. People were alone and he gave them family. People were rejected. He called them to be his servants and his disciples. So many people in our world, billions of people in our world, are walking around day after day after day. They don't have a relationship with God, so they can't get shed of their past. So they can't discover their purpose, and they've put themselves out of making an impact on the world. God is calling us to come be kingdom in this world. His prayer was, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. How does he do that? I'm looking at it. You're looking at it. This is what he's chosen for us to do. We call it the dream team. I didn't coin that phrase. That's something that other churches have used just to describe that it's a dream to be able to serve God. It is. It's a dream come true. I don't think I get any greater joy than I do out of watching you guys and my family, my wife, all of us serving the Lord together. That's one of the greatest, probably the greatest joy of my life is watching that happen. Those kids on the stage today, those young ladies, I say kids like they're baby goats, but they're young ladies launching out into life. We say all these accolades and things. The thing that matters most to you guys is serving Jesus wherever you are. As you were going, Scripture says God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well, not to serve yourself, but to serve others. To serve others. I think this view of church that's come and see, come in and do in and be in, and this introverted idea of church has just hurt us in a lot of ways. So we need to be extroverted. I want to read to you the last part of this. I want to read to you. It is my prayer that we all come together for a unified effort to see as many people who do not know Jesus or who have left him or who need strengthening be taken care of. Prayer team, would you take your place? Would you all stand as I finish reading this? I want to back up and preface this to say, May 7th of 2017, sitting in the health department over here, we were using the little community room in the back. I read these very words that I'm about to read to you, and they still stand true. It is a call of what we really want to do. I'm going to start over. It is my prayer that we can all come together for a unified effort to see as many people who do not know Jesus and who have left him or who need strengthening to be taken care of. We do not have all the answers. We are not perfect people. We are simply people who are in need of the Lord as much as anybody. And we have lots of work to do. God has invited us to partner with him. If you come to Impact Step 1 today, you're going to hear me say, we choose the word partner instead of member. And we do that on purpose. We do that because we don't want you to be a member of a club where you get benefits by paying your dues. We want you to come and partner, bringing what God has given you to partner with what he's doing here and just continue to do what we're doing and keep adding more people to the kingdom. And Scripture says it this way: God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I can't think of a better partner on the planet than Jesus Christ, our Lord. So today, as we end our service, I want you to focus your mind a little bit toward yourself. Just ask yourself the question, am I being inconvenienced for Christ? Am I moving for him? Not to put yourself on a guilt trip, but ask yourself some introspective questions. What is it that I am doing to bless other people's lives? How is God working through me to give kingdom to somebody else? Our prayer team is up here. If you're new to us, all the people that are standing up front up here are waiting for you to come and pray. Anybody that wants to come at any time, just come and pray. Maybe there's something on your heart that you need to get out of the way. Maybe there's a something you need to lay down and set free. Come confess it today. Come say it out loud so the enemy no longer has any control over it. Let that out. Let it out so the enemy doesn't have it anymore. Can I just confess to you? He won't stop trying to whisper things into your ear. But when he reminds you of who he thinks you are, you remind him of who he is. He's lost. It's over. The victory's won. Jesus has won it all. We're just waiting for him to come back and take us home. I can't wait. I'm excited for that. If you're not ready for that, please come to somebody today and just say, hey, I need to accept Christ. If you need water baptism today, we got a pool. It's cold, but we'll take care of you today if you need to. We want to be here to serve you. So God, as we worship and we praise you this morning, I pray, Father, that you will touch our hearts. Help us to be and to do and to act and to rest in you and whatever you would have us to do, God. Thank you, Father, for giving us all that you give us and for loving us as you have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we worship, feel free to please come and receive prayer this morning. Go ahead and step out. It's all right. It's all right. It's good.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above the all. All thrones and dominions, all powers in position. Your name, it stands above the all. Sing his name. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, stands above them all, above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name, it stands above
them all. Come on, step out.
Come on. And the angels cry.
Cry holy,
holy. Holy, your creation cries. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing. And holy to the King of Kings.
Says you be holy as your heavenly Father's holy. When I read that passage, I'm like, wait a minute, I can't be that holy. But here's the cool thing, he does. He places the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus comes and creates this idea of salvation for us. He connects us to his holiness. We become who he is. And God doesn't even see your sin. The Bible says he doesn't even put it on your account. That's grace. It's not permission, it's grace. So receive that holiness. Don't be afraid of holiness. His name is holy, is to be kept holy every morning. I say, God, your name is to be kept holy in all the earth and to be magnified. We need to continue to do that because he is to be kept holy. Let him make you holy. Let him make you who he wants you to be. He will do that. You just have to be willing and open and open. So, Father, again, we pray. We pray, Father, you come. In Jesus' name.
Hear the angels cry. Oh.
pray. We're going to keep this up. We'll be here as long as you need us to be to pray for you. Just please make that known. Come find me or find one of these folks up here. We'd love to pray with you. If you're new with us, please hang out. Let us get to know you a little better. If you want to stay for impact, feel free. If you just want to come learn. Nope, there's no pressure in there, by the way. All you people who've been through it, there's no pressure. It's just simply come and learn. We'd love to have you if you go out in the back to the back. You guys who have Kingdom Kids, are there the Kingdom Kids room in this first big room? That's where we have impact. So if you'd grab those up first, that'd be great. So we can open the room up for impact. I love you, church. I love you. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Pray for you every day, every day. If you want to fill out one of those connection cards or go online and do that, please do that. I know I'm supposed to say that at the front, but do that if you would. I'd love to connect with you and put you on my prayer list every day and be praying for you as well. God bless you guys. You'll have a great Sunday, okay?